Becoming Whole. It's on page 361 of the sixth edition basic text. And our reader is Deborah. And I'll introduce the author after we read her story.
Great. I'm a grateful recovering addict named Deborah. Becoming Whole. Hi, I'm an addict and my name is... I say I'm an addict first because I don't remember what I am. If I don't remember what I am, it won't matter who I am. Today was a good day at work. For a person who was once on Social Security disability, living in government housing, this is truly a miracle of recovery. Now I work with people who, like me, have been diagnosed with major mental health disorders. When other counselors at work talk about their clients, I think, if they only knew, I used to have all those symptoms and I've used all those drugs. On a low self-esteem day, sometimes I still feel so transparent, as though others can see right through me and they are just tolerating my existence as some sort of pet project. Good news is that those days pass. Sub-zero self-esteem used to be a way of life for me. When I first came into recovery, I tried it with no medication and just meetings, with no God, no sponsor, no steps. At 90 days clean, I went home the day after a vicious fight with my using husband to find him dead. I continued to go to meetings, but working the program my way and with no medications drove me 11 months later to a full psychotic breakdown and another suicide attempt clean. It was painful to learn that I am powerless over life and death. My attempt did not kill me, nor did it stop my incessant psychotic thoughts that I experienced. I thought people could read my mind and were putting thoughts into it. I even had a notion I had to be captured by aliens during a hostile takeover, and you guys in the meeting were part of the conspiracy. I was so sick, not just with addiction, but with other disease called schizophrenia. I had been diagnosed many times with different types of schizophrenia, including paranoid schizophrenia. After several more months of torture in my mind, in which I lived horrors still unbelievable to me to this day, I finally turned myself into the psychiatric ward, where I got stabilized on some medication. How wonderful that I was no longer agonizing, trying not to hear the voices. I got some relief through psychotropic medication. Shortly after that last hospitalization, my father died. I believe he knew that finally I would be taken care of. I had started doing all the basics in NA and have never stopped doing them. Plus, though I had formerly been a devout atheist, I became a spiritual explorer of sorts, trying all faiths on for size. The suggestions I heard from the fellowship at meetings helped me to develop a positive working relationship with a higher power. I stayed on my medication for about a year and a half while I learned some new tools. I had lots of outside help and was finally authorized by my doctor to try to live without the medication and to have regular checkups, which I've been doing ever since. One of the major themes of my life is my search for family. I was an only child and never bonded with my mother. I was always given mixed messages and felt damned if I did and damned if I didn't. I was taught that kids were seen but not heard. I lost my innocence when I was very young. By the time I was 13, I was using every day, as well as binging and purging. Since I had not been validated when I was growing up, I felt visible to the eye, but not to the heart. My life before Narcotics Anonymous was loveless and lawless. A lot of my sick behaviors were unhealthy ways to try to recapture the innocence that I lost and to create a family. I wanted new family that would be there whenever I needed them, who would love me unconditionally. When I made abandonment and loss my lower power, I relived my youth in dysfunctional relationships, returning to the source of my pain for comfort again, 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 and again. I have come to understand that in NA, I'm in a large extended family where I don't get mixed messages. Thank goodness it's a simple program. In NA, I find the clarity and direction I have always sought. Thank God for the simple spiritual messages and collective wisdom found in NA. At home, the rules had always changed. Reassuredly, these simple spiritual principles never change. Narcotics Anonymous has helped me arrest my disease on a daily basis. I have not used, binged, purged, or self-mutilated for 15 years. I have been in NA. I have not, since that early suicide attempt, heard any voices. I have had lots of outside help to deal with my mental health issues, but I address the residual symptoms of my disease through recovery. The times when I felt suicidal, I hadn't acted on those urges. At those times, I tell myself, maybe in the future, but not today. And then the feelings and desire pass. Suicide is a permanent solution for a temporary problem. The fifth tradition leaves me never purposelessness and never alone. As a group member, I can always carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. I have learned in NA to feel my feelings and become an integrated whole human being. Today, I know that the consequences of not feeling are much worse than the consequences of feeling. My feelings are there for a reason. They're not just there to torment me to extremes. When I'm attentive and mindful, I can see what they are telling me. When I don't have to make emotional decisions, reacting or running from the pain or fear, I own it and let it go and let God. I was dumped recently, and instead of dwelling on the rejection, I took inventory. I shared and shared. Tired and abandoned, I deepened my surrender and felt God's grace and love fill me up more than ever before. I know that for me to live, I must give and forgive. Give back what was so freely given to me. Forgive and not hold on to the patterns of victimization in relationships. I have relationships today that are grounded in respect and equality. I have learned in NA that the more I let go, the freer I am. And when I do this in relationships, I'm finally able to give and receive unconditional love. With the help of others and the steps, staying teachable and reachable, I am not afraid. I have a strength that is not my own. The steps have helped me become an empowered woman. I have learned that my story is continually unfolding, with each day being a few pages in the book. Knowing that more will be revealed excites me. Each day is a mystery in my higher power's hands. My human experience is not always my disease, and I don't have to blame my disease for every human experience. There is no shame in living today. I have the right to be happy, sad, fallible, joyful, ignorant, stupid at times, in debt or out, dumped by a guy, or happy together, and so many other things. Earlier in my recovery, somebody told me to keep a miracles diary. I see so many coincidences and miracles each day that I cannot deny the value of my life anymore. So I would like to reach out and say, don't quit before the miracle happens. Life on life's terms is rich with miracles.
Thank you, Deborah. So at this time, I would like to introduce our speaker. Her name is Sasha.
Thank you so much. I'm an addict, and my name is Sasha. And I'm grateful to be clean by the grace of God and the rooms and Zoom rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And the only thing that I need after this meeting is to know where my next meeting's going to be. And I go to meetings and I don't use in between meetings. And thank you for the Paradise Strong Book Study group for hosting this, but also your perseverance every Tuesday when you have your home group. I'm really grateful right now. And I'm really grateful for the speaker that shared before me, because I really identified with a lot of feelings. And so now I'm emotional. And that's okay today. It's okay to feel, deal, heal, and be real, because I'm at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I mean, goodness gracious, if I can't cry at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting because I'm grateful, where can I cry, right? Where can I cry? So I really identified so strongly, especially when the previous speaker, and thank you, Deborah, for reading. I really appreciate you. You read so beautifully. I really appreciate that the previous speaker spoke about learning new things. And I really feel that that's where I'm at in my life too, that I'm having to learn a lot of new healthy behaviors and adapt to a lot of changes. And I know they told me when I first got here that the only constant, you know, was change, and the only constant is change. But currently the changes seem to be happening quicker than I, as a mere imperfect mortal human, am adapting to the way I would like to adapt to. So once again, the solution is in, you know, that first step and that acceptance and that surrender. And for me, recovery has to be unconditional acceptance and unconditional surrender. And sometimes that's very challenging, because there are days like today where, you know, my ego wants that control so badly, and my ego wants people, places, and things to be in this certain type of utopian flow, this ideal flow. And it's like, I'm just not letting go. And so then I become unmanageable, because whatever I try to control winds up, because I'm an addict with a disease of obsession and compulsion on turbocharge, then it controls me at the end. So today I had a day where I became unmanageable in my spirit. And so I'm grateful, because I can start my day over at any time. NA has taught me that, and that I can start my day again. And I can hit that pause button and try to say, what is really important today? How important is it that I get my way? Yeah, how important is it when I look at it that my way actually got me to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and my way in many respects actually led me to a lot of unhealthy behaviors, even in recovery, that unfortunately I had to hit bottoms with too. The pain of remaining the same had to become greater than the fear of changing. And that's where I'm at today, actually. The pain of remaining the same has become greater than my fear of changing. I'm so grateful for the women and several men. You know, we're a fellowship of men and women. I'm so grateful for the women in my life that are powers, like strong powers of example, and they have so much wisdom in their daily application of the principles of this fellowship and life on life's terms, because it's not life on Sasha's terms. It's not Sasha's Anonymous. It's a WE program, and it's Narcotics Anonymous. And it's about living and meeting and greeting life with spiritual terms. And now I'm never going to do that perfectly. And I don't know anybody, you know, we always say that Narcotics Anonymous, we don't have a market on spiritual principles. We don't have a market on character defects either. We're human, and I don't know anybody inside or outside of the rooms that has died perfect. And I just don't know why on a daily basis, like, I can have this perfectionistic attitude that somehow I am going to be like perfected. And I know the self-acceptance and the embracing of self-love, because in Narcotics Anonymous, I was loved until I could love myself. I know with that embracing, it's that I'm imperfectly, you know, I'm perfectly imperfect. and that that's okay. And there's some wisdom in embracing that. And so I'm, last night I spent the night with a friend of mine, a woman in recovery, and her 26-year-old son had died short of a year clean, which was really, really sad, in a horrific car accident. And my other friend's brother, a month ago, this has all happened in the last several months, my other friend's brother had overdosed. And there's been a lot of loss, and it's kind of set out some grief and imbalance and rebalancing. And somebody just got honest today. I'm so grateful about their relapse, which is just like when I was using, I thought no one else knew that I was high, but everyone knew. And it's the same with character defects. Yeah. When we think we're not in them, like everybody kind of knows we're in them. Yeah. And, but somebody got honest about their relapse, and, I have to give myself time to process emotionally and connect, you know, make that conscious contact spiritually. And sometimes the best thing that I can do in my life is to make a decision to not make a decision, because there are times when I want to get into the F everything and run instead of face everything and recover. There are times of life and life's terms that I don't want to face things. I want to avoid. And, you know, there are a lot of times when culturally, it's really easy. We live in a grief avoidant culture. And so it's sometimes very difficult to like be the way that we need to be. And so then I get into the, well, okay, I can have everything and run. I'll do a geographic cure. That's not the answer in recovery for sure. Yeah, moving away is not the answer, because guess what? I take myself with me. It's different if I'm wanting to move and I'm moving towards something, but if I'm running away from pain that I need to embrace in order to learn and grow the lessons, and the you know, there's always a lesson and a blessing in order to grow and grow through it, then I need to just sometimes make a decision to not make a decision. And just be. And that's really where I'm at right now today. It's a day where I definitely need to allow myself to also grieve, because I knew both of those people. I tried to help others and sometimes fix myself by fixing other people. And the core issue of that, and just taking my own inventory here, the core issue when I am doing that is because I really don't want to be responsible for me. It's a lot easier for me to be there for other people. It's a lot easier for me to get lost in anything. And I can get lost in work. I can get lost in service work. I remember I one time I had so many hats, I would have needed a hat rack. All my hats, you know, but where was I in that? I really wasn't bringing myself. I wasn't emotionally present. I wasn't emotionally available. And the only way is to connect back, not only with myself, but to make that conscious contact, to be able to be available to others. So basically when I'm trying to fix me by fixing you, it's because I'm at the core not wanting to take responsibility. And that's like my little kid inside, immature, irresponsible. And then I don't have to do what Sasha needs to do to take care of her recovery. And I've learned that that's a form of self-neglect. And I can be, unfortunately, I'll be honest, at times I can be very comfortable with self-neglect. And so for me, part of what I have to do, because I am a therapist for a living, I have to go more into myself. And it's kind of, there are times, I know God gave us 2 ears and one mouth, but for me, I can become professionally impaired because I hear a lot of trauma and sad stories. And the past couple of days, I went to this wonderful Earth Day. That's not political. We all live on the Earth, right? But I went to a wonderful Earth Day festival yesterday. And I just like, I saw somebody who had a table there and I just felt his pain. I started crying. So like right now, I'm just like too out there. And I really need to bring myself back in. So I can only do that by, you know, working the steps, steps four, steps five, and definitely looking at, you know, in step six, getting ready to have God remove the sense of like, really, I have a sense of prideful entitlement. You know, an inconvenience to me can be like a crisis. Like, and that there are millions of people that are inconvenienced in the world, but when I'm in that self-centered mode, when I'm in that self-centered fear, because things aren't being manageable or I'm not managing things because the way that I think they should go, right? Should have, could have, and would have, I'm shoulding all over myself and everybody else. It should be this way. Don't you know it? Like when I'm in that mode, when I'm in that mode, when I'm in that state of mind and state of being, it's like, I'm in pride. I'm in pride, and pride heads the list of all my character defects. Pride heads my anger. You know, then I get, you know, pissed off because things aren't the way I think they should be. I get angry. I get irritable, you know, and then everything else follows, you know, pride. I should have more. I have a disease of more. And to me, step six is about really learning how to stop, right? Stop to want what I have instead of always trying to get what I want. And that to me is the core of gratitude. I have my morning prayers. They say please in the morning and thank you at night. And like I wrote out my morning prayers. They're rather long and I'm not going to share them here. But part of what I also do in the morning is a grateful text. I'm in these grateful groups and we all share gratitude at the beginning of our day because there's always something to be grateful for. Any clean day is a successful day. And we do that faithfully every day. And it's such a wonderful support because gratitude will always shift my attitude. It really puts things in perspective because I have a disease where my magic magnifying mind, you know, it'll make things better than they are, make things worse than they are. Everything becomes an exaggeration and a distortion. And at times I just have my disease centers in my mind and it's about my perception and my perspective. And like, I have to align, you know, in the seventh step, I can't fix me just like a hammer can't fix a hammer. A shovel can't fix a shovel. Self can't fix self. Sasha can't fix Sasha, but I'll always be talking with my friends and I'll say things like, oh, I'll say, I'm working on this. You know, I'm working on organizing. I'm working on that. And it's like, in reality, I have to humbly ask what I need to share with other people that are in recovery, my spiritual friends, my spiritual brothers and sisters in recovery. What I need to share with them is use the spiritual language of Narcotics Anonymous in the steps, and that I am humbly asking God to remove my self-pity today. I am humbly asking God to help me in this process. That's our seventh step. It's all about, I can't do it. In step six and seven, I revisit that powerlessness, but the powerlessness is no longer helpless and hopeless because of Narcotics Anonymous. I never have to live a helpless and hopeless life of degradation and moral, you know, demoralization and rationalizing, you know, to myself mostly. I don't have to lie to myself anymore. If I have that self-honesty, then I can be honest with everybody else. I can be honest and share openly and freely in this meeting. And I just wanted to pause here at seven and ask how the time is going, Francis, please.
Well, you could share all the way up until the hour if you'd like. If you share short, we'll open it up for open sharing. So
okay, thank you. So the thing is with step six and seven, I have when I apply them, I really have such a great freedom. And it's such loving kindness, not just to myself, but to anybody that I'm interacting with, because my behaviors have a ripple effect. They don't just affect me. They affect everybody that I'm involved with. And then those people and those people. So there's a funny story about that, where a man gets yelled at by his boss, and then he goes home and yells at his spouse, and then the spouse yells at the kid, and then the kid yells, you know, pulls the dog's tail, and then the dog pees on the carpet. You know, it's like we affect each other in either positive ripples, or we affect each other in negative ripples, and sometimes, you know, waves where you know, our impact on others can be profound. If we look at recovery and how profound the impact on each other is in a positive way. So I have to do the damage control. Now, the steps are spiritual damage control. I don't want to have to, you know, make another 8-step list where I've intentionally harmed others. I at times unintentionally harm others, but I'm grateful because I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, that I no longer have the intention to hurt anybody mentally, spiritually, financially, you know, with stealing, lying, cheating, all of that, in relationships, out of them, with relatives. I am free of that. So, but will I still make mistakes? Will I still have to do an 8th and 9th step as I cycle through the steps again? Absolutely. And I have the 10 step too, to keep things clear and current. When I'm wrong, I need to promptly admit it. I need to pocket my pride. I need to, you know, put my pride in my back pocket and say, hey, what I did was wrong. No, I don't need to be that sorry person anymore, like, oh, give reasons, excuses for my behavior. No, I just need to be accountable. And I need to recognize that I can't just move, you know, to the next person or the next group. I know in Narcotics Anonymous, the joke is, how do we start meetings? So resentment in the coffee pot, but now it's kind of the culture is, how do we start a new meeting? Well, we start a new Zoom group. That's how my home group got started, you know, based on the other home group not wanting to do a hybrid with the Zoom. But with the 10 step, I can't stay clean on yesterday's soap. So if I'm not looking on a daily basis, like, and my strengths and what I did right, and also what needs improvement, because I'm a work in progress and the biggest room is room for improvement. If I'm not looking at that every day, then I'm either growing or going. And so it's really, really important that I take a 10 step and I don't just have to do it like at the end of the day. Yeah, I can do it throughout the day. Like, gosh, you know, I really need to own this behavior right away. Why? Because if I start to rationalize, tell myself lies to justify the behavior, then I'm in a dangerous zone. I'm in a dangerous zone. I can't keep that stuff. We're only as sick as our secrets. And if I start to hide, you know, these little behaviors, then the shame starts to grow inside of me. So it's much easier and simpler in the long run, because I don't have the spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, and financial consequences, you know, to do the next right thing for the next right reason. And even if sometimes my reasons, I have to like admit, sometimes my reason I can get caught up in. For a long time, I had service-oriented recovery instead of recovery-oriented service. And I really wanted to, like, you know, be someone in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and it's so funny, because we all are someone in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, we don't even have to try to be that. But sometimes in recovery, I had the wrong motives in service. I'm so grateful for my sponsor, because she told me service needs to come out of gratitude. You know, our gratitude speaks when we care and share the NA way. And that's why we serve, because we are so grateful that we want to help. So I'm grateful that in the 11th step, I just wanted to share that that I don't do it on my own power. You know, praying only for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. is so important, because myself, I'm not doing it. Like, even here, I'll be honest with you, I was rear-ended March 25th, and I've been stuttering, and I've been, you know, having more difficulty with than I usually do, because obviously I'm better at writing than speaking. But the thing is that, thank you. But the thing is that, I've had a little bit more challenges. And what I want to say, like, even getting these words out is not me. It's not me. It's just from relying, not self-reliance, but relying on that power that's so much greater than me, greater than my defects, greater than my shortcomings, you know, and that power is Narcotics Anonymous. And through that power, when I rely on it, that unconditional love, then I can be of service and carry that message and practice the principles in all of my affairs, in all areas of my life. And that's what's so important, that I don't just talk the talk in the meeting, but I walk the walk with my neighbors in my neighborhood. I walk the walk with my friends outside of the rooms. I walk the walk in my community, and I walk the walk at work. And when I'm walking that walk, I have to remember that compassion from the only requirement for membership being a desire to stop using, that compassion and unconditional love that was gifted to me, I can then bring to other people and practice, you know, principles before personalities with others. Because guess what? Everybody has the right to believe what they want to believe and to be who they are and to have their own values. I'm just grateful today, because of NA, that I have mine and that I can live them. Greg Pierce said at one convention, he said, the way you live determines the way you live. And I think about that a lot, because it's so true. The way we live determines the way we live. So I'm grateful today. Thanks so much for letting me share. And thanks to everybody that stuck here and for your service to this group and meeting. Thank you.